original pirate material. You're listening to the streets. Lock down your aerial. How's it come
to this? This is the A-Noise Daily Roundup. A-Noise is the web stream covering the protests around the Republican National Convention in New York City. I'm Kat Aaron with Rise Up Radio from the New York Indie Media Convergence Space. Today, Stefan Christoph of CKUT Radio in Montreal brings you the voices of the demonstrators. But first, a recap of Sunday's stream from the protests. An estimated 500,000 people took to the streets of New York City Sunday in a massive protest against the Bush administration. The march, organized by United for Peace and Justice, began and ended at Union Square in Lower Manhattan. Jesse Jackson spoke at the march's kickoff.
We're not better off economically. We're less secure emotionally, and yet we're resilient. We fight back.
Let nothing break our spirits. End the war in Iraq, and come November, vote with a passion. Forward by hope, never backwards by fear. Keep hope alive.
The march was largely peaceful, with many people bringing their children to the permitted demonstration. Energy in the street was high, as Andrew from KBOO Radio reported from Union Square.
Today has stepped off a little early. It's about 20 to noon, and it's kind of controlled mayhem. No confrontation, but it's just really, really crowded. Spirits are very, very high, and I am not sure the last time I've seen a crowd this size.
The marchers passed by the Madison Square Garden Convention Center on their route. A-Noise was taking calls via cell phone from the streets.
The march is full strength and moving up here. The street is absolutely packed. Opposite the street from me is Macy's, and there is basically like a large television screen, which the marchers have full view of, and they're airing Fox News live. And it's great. Every once in a while, George Bush will come up on that screen, and the entire street fills with booze. It's pretty fun.
Among the celebrity attendees at today's march were Michael Moore and Jesse Jackson, who both joined arms with United for Peace and Justice's Leslie Kagan in front of Madison Square Garden, where Republican delegates will converge tomorrow. But not all the stars were treated well by New York's Boys in Blue. A-Noise spoke with filmmaker Josh Bennett.
We've been shooting this film, This Revolution, directed by Stephen Marshall, for the past 2 weeks in New York. We've had all the proper permits and licenses. The city was aware of our shoot. They were aware we'd be shooting out in the protests. Two of our actors were arrested for wearing masks in public, despite the fact that we had permits which allowed us to shoot. We had Rosario Dawson, who is a major film star, arrested. Our actors were thrown on the back of the squad car without any notice as to why they were being arrested, and they were handcuffed and not given a reason, put in a truck, and only now are they telling us that wearing the mask was against New York code regulations for protesting.
Like actress Rosario Dawson, many others were arrested at the demonstrations in what seemed like almost random arrests. People on bikes were particularly targeted, following Friday's enormous critical mass bike ride where over 230 people were arrested. A call into the A-Noise broadcast describes one such confrontation.
We were taking a ride together, a few hundred of us, obeying traffic laws, and at around Herald Square, a bunch of undercover detectives on scooters started swarming into the group of people on bikes and nudging their tires and hitting them with their bikes. The ride split up. A group of people went down 37th, and the DTs on the bikes tackled them, hit them with their bikes, jumped off the bikes, and violently apprehended a lot of them.
The National Lawyers Guild told A-Noise that they can confirm approximately 140 arrests Sunday for a total of about 430 people since the protests began on Friday evening. And that's some of the latest from the A-Noise web stream in New York City.
Original pirate material. You're listening to the streets. Lock down your aerial.
United for Peace and Justice had sought a permit to rally in Central Park after the march through New York City. That permit was denied, but thousands of people gathered in the park nonetheless. Christina Heatherton was there.
I had to stop you guys both because of your t-shirt, so why don't you describe what's on your t-shirt?
We have the Democratic donkey mounting the Republican elephant, and the slogan underneath is Make Love, Not War. We are trying to promote free sex, basically. And it all goes together quite well with the motif of today and freedom of expression, freedom to have sex where and when you want. free sex in the sense of having ownership over your body, your actions, and how and when you want to express your love. We're not into, like, you know, garish sex acts. Because that's the free sex I was seeing in Central Park.
I'm on the Great Lawn and had to stop because there's a group of very lazy-looking people, and I had to stop and interview them. So, why are you guys so lazy?
We're eating plátanos for the revolution.
You also look like you got a bin of gummy bears.
Oh, yeah. Do you want them?
They're revolutionary gummy bears.
We believe in the right to gum bears.
We believe in fighting W by eating.
New York's nothing more New York than protesting. Nothing more New York than standing up for what you believe in or lying down.
6:32 on the Great Lawn in Central Park. Protest is still going strong, but there are a lot of people asleep on this lawn. I am here speaking with
Nicheza Morgan.
Nicheza. And I'm here speaking with Nicheza because she has a big sign that caught my eye that said,
Bush can kiss my black ass, Cheney too.
Okay, Nicheza, now tell me again, why are you carrying around this sign?
I'm here just to express my disgust with the Bush administration.
Okay, so what kind of response have you got from your sign?
You know, I really wasn't expecting, you know, I just, when I made the sign, I just wanted to have a sign that would get a laugh, but would also kind of sum up how I felt about the Bush administration. But I never expected for there to be such resonance with people. So many people have come up and said that they love my sign. People have said, you know, yeah, my white ass too, or, you know, my Jewish ass, or, you know, it just really resonates with people. I mean, so many people have taken my picture, have interviewed me, and it's really kind of startled me. But then I'm like, yeah, you know, there's a lot of people who are just as disgusted as I am. So, yeah.
Good. I'm glad you're getting the message out for everybody's ass.
Stefan Christoph of CKUT Radio in Montreal was also in the streets today and brings us this report.
The demonstration brought together countless community groups, political campaigns, and activists from New York City and throughout the world for a popular mobilization which was diverse in its political focus while remaining clear in voicing a popular rejection to the ongoing occupation of Iraq. We will now hear a sampling of on-the-street interviews with various participants of the demonstration, focusing on a variety of subjects. Specifically, we will hear from a demonstration contingent organized in solidarity with the Palestinian struggle for liberation to those who voiced their support for the rights of immigrant and refugee communities facing attacks at the hands of the U.S. government post-September 11th, to those who voiced their solidarity with the popular movements against capitalist globalization in Argentina.
My name's Hillary Martin. I'm a vegetable farmer from Burlington, Vermont. I was in the West Bank this past winter for a month, and there I was working with and collecting stories from Palestinian farmers whose lives have been disrupted and land has been taken and markets have been cut off by the wall that's being constructed currently by the Israeli government. And I decided to come to New York to stand and be counted and condemn the foreign policy of the Bush administration, but not only the Bush administration, the Republicans. You know, I was actually, you know, I almost decided not to come because it's not just the Republicans who are responsible for the kind of foreign policy that supports this Israeli occupation or the Iraqi occupation. You know, I feel very strongly that especially the past 50 years or maybe even 200 years of empire expansion, that the militarization and occupation of the West Bank are part of this continuing policy of the United States administration to militarize and, you know, thereby capitalize on resources all across the world. But it's so outrageous and overt what the Bush administration is doing that I felt like I couldn't stay home and be quiet about it, and I needed to be here for that reason.
Hi, my name is Sarah DeSantis, and I'm also a vegetable farmer from Vermont, and here for many of the same reasons that my partner Hillary said. One thing I'll just add is that one of the major reasons I'm here is because the Bush administration, and if Kerry wins, he will do the same, has taken the place of Palestinians. And Bush and maybe Kerry in the future are negotiating for the Palestinians, and they're not Palestinian, and they have absolutely no right to stand in the place and make decisions for people. Palestinians have the right to self-determination, and if they had that right, there would not be Israeli settlements, there would not be a wall going up in the West Bank, there would not already be a wall in Gaza, which has existed for years. So with Bush saying that the settlements can stay, it's none of his business, it's none of our business here, and we have to stop funding this occupation, because without U.S. dollars, this occupation could not go on. So we're here to say no to the Bush agenda and also no to the Kerry agenda, since they have the exact same policy in Israel and Palestine, the exact same, and that's incredibly scary.
One of the large focuses of today's demonstration is the occupation of Iraq. So maybe speak about how you see the occupation of Palestine and Iraq linked together, both in terms of the policies of the Republicans, but more broadly also in terms of an international scale.
Well, I mean, there are direct connections to make. I mean, recently, the New York Times reported just yesterday about how there's intelligence sharing between the United States and Israel. Many of the tactics of the war and of the occupation have been shared between the United States and Israel in terms of how the occupation is actually, you know, instrumented. But I really think that it's part of this strategy to kind of have like a matrix of control across, especially the Middle East is where the focus is. You know, like I think for me, going to the West Bank at the time that I did, I felt urged to do so because of what American policy was doing in the Middle East in general. It felt like there was this kind of urgency, like we needed to pay attention to what was happening over there and bring that back home.
Both the occupations of Palestine and Iraq are wars over resources. And the Israeli occupation of Palestine is specifically over land and water that's being stolen every single day from the Palestinians. The U.S. occupation in Iraq is about getting more oil for the U.S. dependency. So obviously both these countries, Israel and the United States, are sharing tactics of how to control people in the Middle East. So they're not only sharing how to do prison abuses, how to torture inside prisons, how to run occupations, but they're both trying to secure natural resources for their consumptive societies.
One could assume or say that today we're seeing the emergence or the definition of the beginnings of a social movement in North America. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of people on the street today. I'm using that term social movement very deliberately. Throughout the Global South, we see social movements developing, resisting occupation or empire. Maybe talk about this demonstration, and do you see today as part of the emergence of a social movement, you know, rejecting policies of war, policies of occupation, policies of neoliberalism around the world?
Well, it's about time that people in the United States get out on the streets and say something, because there's people all over the world that every single day they're fighting for their lives because of the policies of this country. And it's about time we got our shit together in this country. There's resistance all over the United States, but it's finally here on the streets and we actually see it. But you go to Palestine and every single day people are out on the streets literally fighting for their olive trees, their homes, their brothers, their fathers who are in jail. And, you know, a lot of people here in the United States live in comfort. And until their comfort zone is challenged, they're not going to get on the streets. And so this is good to see that there are finally people on the streets. And hopefully we'll see more in the future.
I would hope that it's not just about the Republican administration. I feel like we should repeat that. Because, you know, the war has galvanized this kind of movement. We saw it on February 15th. You know, millions of people were in the streets. March 22nd, and marking the year anniversary that Iraq was officially bombed, you know, apart from the 10-year bombing campaign that the United States was conducting against it. You know, I hope that people don't rest if the Kerry administration is voted in, you know, because it's like Sarah said, people are fighting every day in Palestine, in Iraq, in Colombia, you know, in Venezuela, in Haiti, all across the world.
A big message that came out of Argentina around the last elections there, and now as they see the elections for Bush coming up, it's really important to get Bush out, and that's a big message down there. But they help us look well beyond that in a way of saying, our dreams do not fit in your ballot boxes is one slogan that was spray painted all over the city during the last election there. And I think that's really important to remember that our visions for a really democratic, a directly democratic society, you know, we know it'll take building here and much beyond here. So I think a lot of people are thinking that way here. Even though we've come together around this specific event, we're looking well beyond that. And the social movements in Argentina that are moving on really strong and doing amazing community organizing give us inspiration and help us keep going in our struggles up here.
So do you see then people on the streets right now in New York City, or social movements that we're seeing emerge in the north, so to speak? Do you feel that it's important to take inspiration or guidance from movements in the global south, specifically Argentina?
I think there's tactical things we can get from them, but the largest thing is inspiration, to see that there are people struggling at the same time. You know, there's a march going on in Buenos Aires, and we can see that, you know, our struggles are really linked. Our ideas about a future is really linked together. And I think for us to continue, I think it goes beyond hope. You know, we do want hope, but we also want to know that some of our failures, and sometimes when it doesn't work out up here in the north, we know that other people are struggling elsewhere, and that they're learning from our mistakes and we're learning from their mistakes, and we're really moving forward. And I think the international solidarity is a really key part of that. To question the whole system, the whole electoral system as well. As you know, we can see that there are options of working within the electoral system, but also to think about beyond that, what do we really envision for a directly democratic society? And I think international solidarity work can really help us continue in those questionings, those struggles.
Basically, we're out here on the streets now trying to bring a little music into this environment, because we believe that art can be a tool of resistance, art can be a tool of revolution, in fact, both to educate the masses as well as to inspire people to really, you know, use their creativity and use their strength to organize together and really change this world. You know, obviously, the Republicans invading in New York is something that we're obviously pretty pissed off about, as well as hundreds of thousands of other people here on the streets. And, you know, we want a very strong message to be sent to the Bush administration and throughout the world. You know, mass protests are one way of organizing. I mean, obviously, it's got to complement the grassroots organizing that's happening in communities, stuff that's happening in schools with the healthcare system, all these issues. But by coming out together on the streets like this, playing big protest concerts, it's a way to inspire people and a way to really show people, and the people that are sort of on the fence, not knowing what to do, that there is a really strong force opposed to this, and we're a part of that, and you should be too, you know, because there's a lot of really problematic stuff that's going on in our world right now at the hands of the Bush administration.
Now, you talk about resistance, building resistance, community organizing. Maybe can you speak about this, the attacks on South Asian, Arab, and Muslim communities post 9/11? Do you feel that this issue is of particular importance today?
Absolutely, and this is an issue that's particularly important to Outer National as well, and myself personally. Being a Sikh in this country in the wake of September 11th has meant a great deal of harassment, a great deal of intimidation to my family and loved ones. You know, Sikh temples being bombed and shit, I mean, just out of control. So we've seen a huge attack, obviously, on, I mean, it could be almost anyone who's brown these days, you know, is a suspected terrorist, you know. So, I mean, obviously, whenever this government, any government, is trying to wage war abroad, it wants to repress people who they think are connected to those forces and create an environment of intimidation at home, and that's exactly what they're trying to do, and that's exactly what we're trying to oppose.
My name is Ali Tahiri. I'm an Iranian living in New York, and we'd like to get these guys out of the office. Danger to humanity, danger to the world.
So as an Iranian, why do you feel it's important to participate in today's demonstration?
Being Iranian is an important thing because U.S. supported Iraq against Iran for 8 years. And now the hypocrisy turned the situation upside down. Now Saddam Hussein and Iraqi government became a bad phenomenon. This shows the interest of the U.S. Government to control the oil, and they, no matter what, they just change the puppets, they change the enemies. Saddam Hussein was a friend, now he's a boogeyman. Next day is something else.
Maybe describe what's taking place right now, and do you feel this is an inspiring demonstration?
This is an important demonstration. As you, everybody knows, 2 days from now, the Republican convention happening right here in this building.
Which building's that?
Madison Square Garden.
We're standing outside of it right now.
Right now. And it shows the people of New York and American people in general are against this madness and insanity.
Participating today in a demonstration against the Republican National Convention.
Yes.
Can you maybe describe your sign and speak about why you're demonstrating today?
Oh, I just have a few things on here, such as Bush is a liar and protect civil liberties. But I'm a school teacher, and I just dislike his policies on trying to privatize public education. He's trying to turn it into so like Walmart and the other corporations can make money off from public education, and that's one of my main reasons for being here today.
Maybe speak about your occupation, being a school teacher. How has the Bush administration affected the educational system in the United States?
They wanted us to do this testing every year, and if the students do not score better each year on this test, then your school's considered a failing school, and therefore they start sending the money elsewhere so kids go to private school. And it's just a way around funding public education. You know, it's more so that people can go to religious schools and such and have the government pay for it, and I disagree with that.
So do you see there being a very distinct push towards the privatization of education?
Absolutely, yeah.
Would you like to speak about your sign?
So it's my mother put it together, and we're here from Arlington, Massachusetts, and there's about 60 of us came out on the bus, and I guess the sign sums it up. It's Bush and the administration are responsible for war, and war always results in this kind of torture, and you just can't avoid it.
It's a picture from the Abu Ghraib prison
exactly,
in Iraq.
Exactly, yes. The abuses in Abu Ghraib. It's just a Richard Serra, who's a sculptor. I think he's an artist. He drew the picture. And it just says, Stop Bush, above the outline of the guy with the hood and the electrocution. And I think we've all seen it. And it's a very profound, graphic, moving picture. And my mom's a big political activist, but I've never done it. But I just... You got to do something, you know. Voting isn't enough, especially when you only have two choices.
So do you see the occupation of Iraq as one of the most central issues to this demonstration today?
Yeah, I mean, most of the signs are no war in Iraq. But the occupation of Iraq really sums up the whole motivation of the administration. You know, it's money and power over other countries at all costs.
Intifada! Intifada!
Intifada! Intifada!
My name is Aura Wise, and I work with the International Solidarity Movement and Jews Against the Occupation here in New York City. And why I'm here today is because billions of U.S. tax dollars are used to fund the Israeli war against Palestinians. And why I say the war against Palestinians is because the violence against Palestinians takes place on many levels. There's a military occupation of the West Bank and Gaza, but there is also the complete denial of full and equal rights to Palestinians within the 1948 borders of the State of Israel. And I'm here because I'm a Jew and I was born in Jerusalem, and I am horrified by the acts of the so-called Jewish state that are being carried out in my name. And I believe that the State of Israel, as it was created, can in no way provide self-determination. Of course not for Palestinians, but not even for Jews throughout the world. Our culture and our identity has been channeled into a militaristic nationalism that's based on denying the rights and even the very existence of another people, of the indigenous people of Palestine. And I'm here today in the streets because the Republican National Convention has chosen to invade New York in another typical move on the part of the Bush administration to attempt to exploit the tragedies of September 11th here in New York in an incredibly cynical and opportunistic way to channel American support for the Bush and his cronies' war on terror, which is really just a war on brown people throughout the world. It's a war on U.S. citizens to keep them in line and to keep them reporting on each other. It is a war against humanity. And I'm here because the real terror that I see are the budget cuts at my school in Manhattan that are denying, you know, immigrant students and students from urban communities the right to education. And I see the terror of Palestinians' daily life under a completely U.S.-supported Israeli military regime.
You spoke about the effects of the Bush administration or the Republicans on New York City, on the educational system, on immigrant and refugee communities. Talk about how you feel as a New Yorker involved in social justice movements.
Here in New York, what we've been seeing throughout the past couple of years are continuous invasion, police invasions into Pakistani and other South Asian and Arab communities throughout Brooklyn especially, tearing mostly men away from their homes and their families and detaining them without charges. And we've seen increased budget cuts in all of, you know, city universities and public schools. And we've seen, obviously, an increased crackdown on political activism. Just last year, just a few months ago, People of Color Radical Benefit Party was raided by the police in Brooklyn and people were beat up and arrested. And we've seen the repealing of laws that activists worked very hard to win throughout the past decade or two. We've seen these laws that made it illegal for the NYPD to surveil us. We've seen them repealed. So this is the climate here. This is the war on New York City. Right now we are approaching Union Square. And we're approaching Union Square, where people who have marched all over the city today are gathering in their opposition to the Bush and the Republican agenda of continuous war. And it's been a battle even to just be able to take the streets in peaceful protest today. The NYPD and Mayor Bloomberg have denied us permits and the ability to gather in Central Park, which is our park. And so now we're in Union Square, and a lot of people are going to go take the streets and take back the parks throughout the city throughout the next coming days.
You've been listening to a series of on-the-street interviews recorded on August 29th as hundreds of thousands of people took to the streets of New York City to oppose and confront the Republican National Convention. The demonstration, which brought together countless community groups, political campaigns, and activists from New York City and throughout the world for a popular mobilization, which was diverse in its political focus while remaining clear in voicing a popular rejection to the ongoing occupation of Iraq. These interviews were recorded and produced for the New York City Independent Media Center and CKUT Radio in Montreal by Stefan Christophe.
You've been listening to the A-Noise Daily Roundup covering the protests at the Republican National Convention. Today's roundup was produced by Kat Aaron, Tariq Korulas, Stefan Christophe, and Christina Heatherton. Tune in to anoise.org all this week for breaking news from the streets of New York.